Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Ryan Wiggins and Brad Range in for Annie Fry today. Think of it, we're always in here, but think of us as your Annie Fry Show concierge today. I don't know where I came up with that. I did not just steal that as a line out of an ad we just played. But I'm Ryan. That's Brad. Thank you so much for being here this afternoon, just after 2 o'clock on Thanksgiving Eve, as we call it. I think some people call it Skanksgiving, whatever you call it. Thanks for being here. So we were just talking off air, and Brad's got a story. And I actually asked Brad to bring in a history story because when John Hancock was in here, he is a history buff,
mm-hmm.
and I don't remember how it happened, but we asked you to do one that day too.
Yeah, he just asked me to tell that story.
Oh, okay. So that was it. And it was really good. And so I said, Brad, when I'm filling in, you should do another one of those. And so we were just talking off air. How crazy is it to think, now your story's from World War One.
One.
We're sitting here right now in 2021. World War One seems about as distant as it gets. We're not connected to World War One in any feasible. I mean, we're barely connected to World War Two anymore as far
right.
as living.
Yeah, I mean, some of the veterans from World War Two, they're in their late 90s now, and we're losing them.
Yeah.
And that's really sad to me. I'm glad that there's shows out there on the History Channel that have recorded their stories, and you can hear it in their own words.
Right.
But we don't really have that from
World War One.
No.
Yeah, people say it's kind of like the lost war.
It really is.
Because nobody talks about it.
It gets so overshadowed by World War Two and then Vietnam and Korea. Like, even Korea gets forgotten, you know?
Yeah, or the Civil War and other wars even right. that became before it get talked about more than it.
But it really is one of those wars that kind of, like, World War Two is a direct result of World War One.
Right.
And so it's one of those things that at the end of the... when you look back in history, it's one of those cruxes in history. It's one of those turning points in history. And it just doesn't ever get the attention that it deserves.
But you and I were just talking about how crazy it is that we're really not that far removed mm-hmm. from these people. I said, my neighbor, he's in his 80s, and he's still very active. You know, I said he just retired. He was a handyman, just retired a couple years ago from doing handyman work. He must have longevity in his blood
mm-hmm.
because his grandpa met Abraham Lincoln. I mean, I'm talking to somebody whose grandfather met Abraham Lincoln. That's not that long ago. I mean, that's like one degree of Kevin Bacon there. and so when we talk about the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
well, we're talking about even closer with World War One. Yet We just don't really talk about it. So
yeah, I mean, they used to call it the Great War, and the sad thing about it was is like, and they've actually changed how they form divisions and stuff like that in European countries, because like in England, a division would be formed from a town, and they would go off to World War One, and then in one big charge, they'd have that entire generation of young men.
The entire town would be wiped out.
Yeah, that particular gone.
Wow.
Like 2 to 3 guys left of that generation. And so they're like, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to mix them up so that, you know, you don't...
Out a village.
Wipe out a village, yeah.
Your story, what's the topic?
So the topic is the Lost Battalion, but I usually get these topics, like, I like music.
Mm-hmm.
And so this group called Sabaton, they're a metal band, and they write songs about history. And you make fun of me for it. And
no, that's kind of funny.
It is, but if you stop and listen to it, it's a really cool way of getting somebody interested, because I hear stories that I wouldn't have otherwise heard. And like this particular story, they had a fan send them a book about the Lost Battalion, and they're like, this is a really good story. Let's write a song about it. So that I thought that was really cool. And then whenever you hear about it, you're like, oh, let me dig more into this. But they even have their own history channel where they talk about the stories behind their songs. But what the Lost Battalion was it was the 9 companies of the 77th Division. So it was about 554 men. And the 77th Division was called Liberty Division.
And this is in the United States.
This is the United States. Okay. This is a U.S. Division. It's called Liberty Division because it was made up mostly of people from the metropolitan area of New York, Brooklyn and whatnot. And if you know anything about New York and that area, you know that there was Catholics, there was Irish people, there were Jewish people, there were just people of all different
melting pot
cultures. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a very American story. And right before they shipped off to France, they actually supplemented that division with people from the Midwest. So it was even more. Now, lots of immigrants, lots of immigrants. And if you know anything about Midwestern immigrants, do you know where they usually came from?
Well, it depends on the town, like, but I would say maybe German and Italian around here.
A lot of German immigrants. Mm-hmm. And that's going to play into this story a little bit later on. But just to kind of set the stage, this was the Meuse-Argonne offensive. The Argonne Forest, how much do you know about that?
None.
Okay. So it's an ancient forest, like old forest, big trees, lots of crags and dips. And just.
And where is this?
This is in like northeastern France.
Okay.
Border of Belgium and Germany. In 1914, the Germans had pretty much taken this over. And then the United States didn't enter the war until 1918. And so they started pushing back the Germans. And this was one of these big offensives. And basically, Liberty's division was flanked on its right by a French division, an American division on its left. But when you get into the Argonne Forest, it's really hard to communicate. Now, mind you, this is World War I, 1918. What they didn't have was things like radios, which sounds so like it's not mm-hmm. that long ago. It was a little over 100 years ago, but they didn't have wireless radios. So wired communication is what they had, but whenever you're in battle, you can't really have wired communication because they used a lot of artillery. Those wires would get cut. You couldn't talk to anybody. So they had to use things like carrier pigeons and runners where you're like, okay, here's the message. Go take this to the general.
Yeah.
And you had to run and hope you didn't get shot. So you didn't know if your message would ever get through. So communication, then you add that on to going into this Argonne Forest, you get like it's really easy to get turned around, get lost and whatnot. So what ended up happening was on September 26th, they wanted to launch this offensive to take back the Argonne. And the general, Evan Johnson, was the commander in charge of this. And he had issued a no retreat command for the divisions. So he's like, you get going. And when you start making headway, you keep going. You keep pushing. They have a whole big long here quote. But at the end, in all caps, in the message that he sent, in all caps, we are not going back, but forward. So that was his thing. So he, the commander of this lost division, our lost battalion that we'll talk about, his name is, where is his name? It's Whittlesey is his last name. I can't remember his rank because he gets promoted from it and he gets the Medal of Honor.
Whittlesey.
Yeah, Whittlesey. So he pushes in and his soldiers and they start pushing in and they go in and they're having a lot of success. Well, in the fog of war, he loses contact with his flanks, and you don't want to lose contact with your flanks because you're thinking of like pushing in as a whole group. And what actually ends up happening is they push in real deep, but as they get deeper and deeper and deeper, they realize we're not facing a lot of resistance here. There's not a lot. Like they would get the sporadic German resistance, but like maybe a machine gun nest or something like that. And they get in so far, and they're kind of like, what's going on? And he's like, well, we should stop. And he sends runners out, and the runners are like, hey, we can't go. I hear German voices behind us. So they basically pushed so far in that they were surrounded by German forces, and they were cut off. So they're, think of a World War I version of the Battle of the Bulge.
Did the Germans know they were there?
Not at first.
Okay.
But, and then whenever the Germans found out that they were there, they didn't know exactly where they were. So they were in that position for 5-6 days, something like that. And while they're in there, like, because, you know, the Germans had this tactic where they'd dart in and out of cover trying to get people to shoot at them so they knew where they could shoot.
Ah, okay.
So it's like, oh, well, they're over there, now shoot at them. The Americans weren't doing that. But the other thing that's really interesting about this, remember I talked about the German immigrants?
Mm-hmm.
The Germans are yelling out their orders and commands on where they want to attack in German, and the German immigrants are going, well, they're saying they're going to attack.
We can hear you.
Yeah. They didn't say that, but
yeah.
Like, we can hear you. So they're mounting their defenses accordingly, which helped allow them to stand off. Let's see here. They created this pocket, and while they're in this pocket, you know, you don't have supplies. They ran out of food. They're getting cut off in every way. And like, one of the things that my research said was they, like, the only way they could get water is if they could belly crawl to this stream and get water and then belly crawl back. So this is where they're at. And at first, when the Germans would attack, they wanted to try to take prisoners because they realized this would be a political coup. You could use this as propaganda to say, see how much better our troops are. Well, these soldiers, being mostly from New York, were very New Yorkish in their response to that. And so as every insult was met with another insult, every attack was met with the same kind of New York attitude and push back. And they kept going. And finally, it got to the point where I think it was the fifth day they were in there, they started getting artillery fire rained down on them. But it wasn't German artillery fire. It was American artillery fire.
They had gotten so far ahead of their own army.
Right, that they were dropping the fire on it. And here's the interesting thing. They were down to one carrier pigeon. And this pigeon's name is Cher Ami. It has a name. And you can still see Cher Ami in the Smithsonian. But they went to it. They put the message in its leg and then tied it up and launched it off. And the bird took off and landed in a tree just like a few yards away. This is their last carrier pigeon, their last hope, you know, they're getting blasted by their own artillery. But finally, they were able to shoo this pigeon off and get it to go. And whenever it took off, what the message said was, we're along road parallel 276.4. Our artillery is dropping a barrage directly on us. For heaven's sake, stop it.
And
well, so the bird takes off and they don't know. But from the German perspective, they know that there's carrier pigeons. So this bird takes off. And they're like, oh, there's a carrier pigeon. Let's shoot it. So they shot at it and shot at it and shot at it. And they shot it to the ground. The bird hits the ground and then takes off again and flies. And it takes about 25 minutes to cover the distance it needed to get back to the headquarters. When it got back to the headquarters, it had lost an eye, was shot through the breast, and then also had lost a leg.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So after but it gets the message back and they were able to adjust artillery fire and basically start hitting the Germans. Well, when that happened, the Germans decided they weren't going to try to take prisoners anymore, so they launched this all-out attack on them. Flamethrowers, you know, grenades and all that other stuff. And they come in, and whenever they get into this, they realize that this is going to be a melee. And so this is like World War II, or One is interesting because it's not all shooting. And when people get close, trench knives, clubs, homemade melee weapons.
Oh, like they're fist
violent,
to fist.
And they were fist to fist, and they were beating the snot out of one another.
Wow.
And so, like, fighting for their lives. Well, when it's all said and done, they were able to fight that off, and eventually the American troops broke through and were able to relieve this division. Now, I think of the 554, only 197 made it out, but they never surrendered. And that was kind of the rallying cry and the thing that came from this. They didn't give up. They never surrendered. They just kept fighting. And they became heroes in the United States at that time. And even they made a movie about it in 1919,
year
after. And some of the soldiers played themselves in this.
How strange.
And they get all of this information from that. Well, to me, the cool thing is, too, now, so I told you at the beginning, the leader of the division got the Medal of Honor. The bird even got an award, the Croix de Guerre, which I don't really understand what it is, and I couldn't find any
something
information.
French.
Yeah, it's a French award. And the name Cher Ami means dear friend. So the bird got an award. If you want to see this bird, like I said, it's stuffed and on display at the Smithsonian. But they were eventually rescued through the blockade as the other divisions were able to push the Germans back, and they actually took the land. And you know how World War One ended. The good guys won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Allies won. But anyway, Sabaton, and I know that you like, you're interested in history, but I also know that you like music production. And one of the cool things that I found about them was how they actually made the audio for this song, the drums.
So you're going to take us out with the song that's based on the story you just told.
I will take us, I'm going to play this little clip. It's a 41-second clip talking about how they made it, and then I'll take us out with the song based on the story.
All right, sounds good. Let's hear it.
Is it just a traditional, straightforward Sabaton?
No, this is very different. This one actually has a new drum kit that isn't real. I had this idea, and I had it for many, many years, but it was never turned into a reality until now.
Okay.
And the kick drum is a machine gun.
Okay.
The snare drum is a 9mm handgun.
Yeah.
And this is kind of macabre, but the hi-hat is a bayonet going into flesh.
Can we hear some of that right now?
Ah, there it is.
All right, there we are.
That's cool.
So that's how they did it, and then this is the song.
And the legend still lives on.
Cool. Thanks, Brad. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Well, it's not quite the end of the year, but we're like talking back about things that have happened this year, one of which is losing Norm Macdonald. I've been watching the Norm Macdonald Show on Netflix, which apparently nobody watched when it came out, but now is really popular. Am I right? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. You said it's on Netflix?
Yeah.
That's why I haven't seen it.
Oh, because you don't have Netflix. Yeah. It's just a talk show. I mean, it's really normy.
I would love it.
And it's good. It's awkward enough at times where you can tell that he's intentionally being awkward with some of his guests, but the guests are all over the place. Some of them you can tell are just friends of his, like David Spade, and Letterman is on it. Letterman's kind of a big Norm fan, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But then there's also Jane Fonda and M. Night Shyamalan and these weird people that you're like, what a weird show. I'm about halfway through it. It's pretty good.
Good stuff, though.
Is yeah. Just,
what, a talk show format?
Yeah, it is literally a desk in the middle of a studio. And then they walk in from the back. They show them walking in. So you're like, I don't even care that it's a studio, you know? They just show them walking in the backstage and walking to the desk and opening up Red Bulls, basically, that are in some cooler. And that is it. So he had to have pitched, I want no frills for this show. And they said, okay. Because it's like a super low-cost show to make.
That sounds, yeah. And with Norm Macdonald, that would be a great show.
Trisha always tells me, Trisha Siegman, who appears on the show randomly, always tells me that I should talk more about my entertainment background, but I never know how to do it because I've done TV, and so I watch a lot of these things and I kind of critique them, but I never really have, like, there's nothing that interesting about it. So at some point, somebody's going to have to ask me questions and I'll just answer them. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, whenever I have questions for you to ask, I will definitely ask.
Thanks,
those
Brad. Thanksgiving Eve here on 97.1 here on the Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie and Brad. We're normally here at this time. We're just sans Annie right now. I wanted to talk a little bit about turkeys. I mean, it's relevant, right? Are you a turkey buyer in your house or is somebody else doing that?
My wife buys the turkey.
Is she paying more this year?
Yes.
How much?
The last I saw, turkey was like 87 cents a pound. If you could get a, you know, just like your regular frozen turkey.
What's that compared to previous years, do you know? Because I don't know offhand.
Not offhand. It's a little higher. I know that, like, if you got a fresh turkey, it's like $100 for a whole turkey.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wish I knew, because most people just pay the price of the turkey. Like, they go and get it scanned, and it's like, okay, it weighed this much, therefore it costs this much.
Right.
And that's what the scan shows. So, like, a 20-pound turkey at 87 cents a pound would be, you know, just under $20.
Now, I was curious because I keep seeing that as a headline, that turkey's going to be so much more expensive, but I'm never the person that buys turkey in my house, so I don't know what that even means.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, like, they look at how much something just costs. Like, if you don't buy turkey regularly, so how do you know what an expensive turkey is?
And do you remember what it was every year? There's things that I pay very close attention to, and I think they're the common things, which is bananas and milk. Everybody kind of generally knows what those cost, and even those have been all over the map in the last year or so. Yeah. That's probably COVID-related, but it's also supply chain-related. The supply chain, to me, is the weirdest thing, because I've read a lot on this issue, because I want to try to solve the world's problems, so I try to find, well, what is it? And it seems like whenever Jen Psaki gets up there and says, well, it's just demand so high, that's so absurd that the demand has just gone so crazy all of a sudden in a year that we can't get certain products. But the weird thing is there's a little truth to it.
Yep, there's a little bit of truth to that.
But it's not the cause. But so you have to weed through all these different things, and there's so many different, like, and they're all interrelated, they're connected, where the supply chain is related to energy. Energy is related to the worker shortage.
Right.
You know, and they all kind of work together.
It really is like a perfect storm of, like, you can't, I don't think you can look at the inflation thing and say it's this one thing. You know, it's a combination of factors. But I also think, like, well, people be like, well, how can you blame Joe Biden for that? And it's like, well, he's responsible for all the factors
that
led into it.
Yeah, he is. One of them that never really gets talked about is he has pumped, and not he solely, but he and congressional Democrats. And then even last year, Trump was party to this too, mm-hmm. but it was, everybody kind of went, well, let's get through the crisis. Well, we're past the economic crisis of this. We are. Right. And they keep pumping money into the economy. They're pumping so much money into the economy artificially that just naturally creates inflation, let alone all the factors that we're talking about.
Well, you're creating an abundance of cash or an abundance of money. You know, that's kind of one of the things that Germany went through after World War I. They had an abundance.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, they went through an abundance. they had hyperinflation to the point where they were burning Deutschmarks because it was cheaper to burn the Deutschmarks to heat their home than it was to buy wood with them and heat their home.
I've seen that story before, too. Well, I wrote an article. It's at 971talk.com. It's called Why People Are Choosing Not to Work. And so all these things kind of play into this. But I was doing a lot of research for this article in particular. From February 2017 to March 2020, we had unbelievably low unemployment. It got to, remember when Barack Obama said, well, you can't just wave a magic wand and bring those jobs back. All those jobs came back under Trump. We all remember that. And, you know, Trump made sure that we did remember that. He would say that. And we stayed at below 4% unemployment for pretty much the duration of his presidency. And it was, I don't want to say miraculous because I don't want to cheapen that word, but it almost was miraculous. You just don't see that, especially after Barack Obama's 8 years. Well, he took office right at the beginning of the recession or at the bottom of the economic dip anyway. So we saw 8 years of growth under Obama that was mostly due to timing. Like he just happened to hit it right at the bottom and then went up, 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 up. But it was very slow. The economic growth was slow. GDP growth was very slow. So when Trump took office, usually what you see in that moment is things start to turn because you've seen 8 years of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost was really miraculous that he was able to do what he did. And it got to the point that somewhere at the trough of unemployment, it got to where it actually was barely below 3%. You don't ever see unemployment below 3%, especially when the labor market is full. You know, we talked to Trent Luce at the beginning of last hour, who's a rancher, and he was talking about, well, one of the reasons that unemployment is showing low right now, because it is, it's back, the last couple months, it's back below 4%.
Right.
Well, let's cheer for that. That's good. But he said, yeah, but it's artificial because so many people are not even looking.
Right. So what is it that unemployment is based off of people searching for jobs?
Correct.
And so, like, if people don't search for jobs, the unemployment number goes down because they just have been removed themselves from the workforce or whatever it is.
And if you're getting government money, you're not going to look for a job. And most unemployment money is based on you looking for a job. But all this other money's not.
Yeah.
Like all the child tax credit stuff that I'm getting because I got kids, that's still getting funneled to every family who's got kids right now. A lot of this money still is. And so in this article, I hypothesize, and this is what I want to get your opinion on, that one of the reasons that we're seeing the worker shortage still, especially in service industries, because that, you know, like we said about unemployment, it can look low. It can look like it's below 4% right now for a couple months. And again, that's good. We want it to be moving in that direction, but we also want people trying to work
jobs
too.
Jobs filled.
Yes, exactly. And we know that they're not. Otherwise, you'd see the now hiring signs everywhere starting to return to a normal rate. It's not that you never saw those. It's just that you see them everywhere right now.
Right.
Everywhere.
Like banners hanging off of buildings.
Yeah, exactly. And especially in service industries. Well, in restaurants in particular, the unemployment is at a historic high still. It's at 7.5%. So that's not being reported particularly. And I talk about that in this article. But anyway, my big thesis to this and what I'm afraid of is that we're not going to be seeing this shortage end soon. And the reason for that is I think what we've had happen throughout COVID is a whole lot of people who typically would work in the service industry realize that there are benefits there that aren't just COVID.
Mm-hmm.
There are huge social safety nets that they weren't taking advantage of before. And let's say that's only 1% of these people, right? That's not a huge percent, but that is an enormous amount of people who are now on food stamps, for instance, mm-hmm. who weren't before. And if you want some stats to back that up, here you go. There are now nearly 44 million individuals on food stamps, up more than 20% from 36 million in 2019.
Wow.
That's the latest data we have.
That's a lot of people.
That's a huge increase. And simultaneously, like you said, well, you can't always blame Biden, except when you can.
Yeah.
Well, Biden and congressional Democrats have increased the amount that people are getting on food stamps. Mm-hmm. So not only, I think, have a lot of people realized that these programs are there, not as if there was nobody on them before.
Right.
But if you're talking about an additional 8 million people, that's the population of Arizona.
Right.
I mean, that's a ton of people.
It's a ton of people. And what they're doing is making business, because, like, you've got a profit margin whenever you run a business, right? And so what they're basically doing is taking all of these service industry jobs where the profit margin has to, like, they can't keep jacking up the prices on people because people will stop going out to eat and they'll just, I can't afford to do
it. Right.
So there's that balance that they have to strike. But then you have to pay employees. And what you're now doing, and Annie has said this before, is you're making companies compete with the government programs.
Correct.
And so, I mean, honestly, why, outside of an internal drive to go to work and be productive for yourself, pride essentially, why would anybody go to work if they can just collect a check from the government?
Yeah, and I specifically looked at food stamps, but there's lots of other programs. I mean, there's welfare and other things too. But food stamps, if you're making, and it was this, I don't even know what it is now because it's increased, but it was about $750 a month if you had a certain amount of kids. I think it's like two or three kids. That's the max you could get was $750 a month. It's probably more like $800-something now. Why would you say, oh, you know what I want to do is go back and work at Arby's right now instead of accepting $800 a month for free for doing nothing? And that, you don't even have to check in. Like, that's just free. You don't have to,
it
like,
shows up to your door.
Pretend that you're trying to find work to get that. You just get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always been, like we said before, 36 million people in 2019, still a lot of people on food stamps. But if that's increased by 20%, there's a whole lot of people. Maybe some of them are going back to work now. Great. Hopefully they are. But I think that a lot of people have realized that whether it's food stamps, whether it's welfare, whether it's whatever other healthcare programs that we have, they had been paying for, there's a percentage of people who had been paying for those things who now, in the midst of COVID, have realized they don't need to. And those people are probably not going to go back to work.
No.
So my fear is that those people aren't going to go back. And so all these restaurant managers and all these people who are right now being told, carry the load a little bit longer. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. You know, unemployment, the federal unemployment benefits expired. Well, that was in September. You did see unemployment drop, but not in certain industries. Mm-hmm. So my fear is that those people who are being told right now, stick it out a little bit longer. They've made it to where us consumers don't notice it quite as much yet. We've seen inflation, but we haven't seen that you can't get products. You know, like most restaurants you can still go to.
Mm-hmm.
My fear is that you're going to start seeing over the next several months, your favorite restaurants just aren't going to be there.
I've already seen it in some of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah.
My absolute favorite restaurant in O'Fallon is called Hop House. I don't know if you've been there or not.
I have.
And I'm going to name drop them because I know that they're desperately seeking employees. So if you're out there looking for a job, go there and apply. They need help. But they've had to shut down for a week at a time, you know, just because they don't have people there. And
yeah.
It's like this was a booming business in 2019.
And you can only stretch your managers so far. Because these people, man, I, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate anybody who's said in the last year and a half, I will step up and fill in the gap, because we know that you're out there. Hopefully you're listening. Hopefully you know that there are people who are advocating on your behalf like we are. You know, we talk to politicians about these issues. We want these issues solved, mm-hmm. not because they really impact us directly. I mean, maybe our favorite restaurant stays open, but we know that there are people out there every day dealing with these problems. And we want them fixed.
Yep, those are real people, not just numbers. And that's the thing that we have to remember is when we're going about it, that real people are being affected by this.
Exactly. So we're thankful for you.
Yes.
We're thankful going into Thanksgiving, and hopefully you can get a day off tomorrow if you are in that situation. Thanks so much to you for being here this afternoon. One more segment before Mark Reardon takes over here in a few minutes. Stick around. It's the Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range, in for Annie Fry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Night of lights, eternal hope has come.
Ah, it's Danny Gokey. You're playing some different stuff today, Brad, so I got to comment on it. Danny Gokey's Twitter is lit.
I love Danny Gokey's Twitter.
He's great. So I used to work at Joy FM and did Christian music. I never met Danny Gokey, but you kind of just run into and you're in this, you know these kind of people even if you don't know them. Danny Gokey was one of those guys that I was always like, I don't know if I like Danny Gokey. And then I found his Twitter and I'm like, oh my gosh, Danny Gokey's awesome. Yeah, anyway, Ryan Wiggins in for Annie Fry. Brad Range is here. We invited Michael to come in. Michael, producer extraordinaire. He said call him Redbeard, old Redbeard, because he's old and he has a red beard.
Well, sometimes I go by Ginger, you know. It just kind of depends. When I used to give tours at Webster University, I would always introduce myself as, I'm Michael. If you forget that, just call me Ginger. I'll probably turn around.
Ginger from Gilligan's Island is what we're going to call him.
Sure.
And so I've invited you guys in because, a little fun fact. Well, I'll ask you. Do you know what the number one drinking day of the year is?
Today.
Ding, ding, ding.
You can tell he's just out of college.
Man, he knows. Yeah, it's
I'm
true.
Still in college.
Oh, he's still in college. That's why.
Yeah, I'm getting the grad degree right now.
That is factually true, Michael, that today is the number one alcohol consumption day of the entire year. I would have thought it would be New Year's Eve or something like that. It's not. It's today.
What do they call it? Friendsgiving?
Friendsgiving or Skanksgiving, one of the two.
You get home from college, right, for Thanksgiving, but Then you go out with your buddies the night before.
Yep. I got to tell you, when I was in college, some of the best, I'll call them concerts.
Careful, you don't want to expose yourself.
No, yeah. The best shows I ever saw, like indie bands and stuff, were on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving because the crowds were so into it. And I would just feed off the crowd. I would watch a band, and looking back, I'm like, yeah, that band was probably terrible, but the atmosphere was so good that everybody's like, oh, we're all home and so-and-so is on stage and I know that guy. Isn't it great to be back? Everybody's in a great mood, you know, because you can sleep in the next day. So tonight, just be careful, I guess. I got to put that warning on it, but it is a big night. It's also, I think, I don't know statistically, but it's maybe the biggest carry-out food night too.
Maybe.
It'd probably be a pretty good Taco Bell night or something for drive-through.
Yeah, exactly, because nobody wants to make anything tonight because everybody's making everything tomorrow.
Giving me flashbacks. You talking about Taco Bell drive-through on Thanksgiving? I used to work at a Taco Bell.
Did you?
Ooh.
Yeah. On Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day, we would close at like 1.
That makes perfect sense.
And we were slammed from the time the doors opened to the time the doors closed.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, because nobody wants to make anything. Pretty much starting right now through at this time tomorrow,
right,
nobody is making a scrap of food.
Right.
Well, if everybody's, you know, got that Friendsgiving going on, and you got to imagine tonight you're going to have a lot of people who are definitely inebriated in some way, shape, or form, Taco Bell's kind of like your go-to.
Exactly.
It really is. Like, yeah. You got that and Jack in the Box, right?
Yeah, and you know what? Where I'm from in Maplewood, we've got one literally right across the street from each other, Taco Bell and Jack in the Box, so... I know corner of Big Ben and Manchester tonight is going to be rocking.
You just go there, you see which line's shorter, and you pick accordingly, right?
Exactly.
So Black Friday, looking past Thursday, are you guys shoppers?
Yeah, I am.
You are.
I'm traveling, so I won't be able to do it.
But same for me, but yeah.
Most of the time, what we do is we'll go to Target. And we'll kind of, you know, go around. That's kind of the family tradition, is just go to Target, look around, and then, you know, slyly behind your back, mom might buy one or two things.
You're doing full-on doorbusters, though, your family.
I know in the past my dad had... See, I'm not a morning person. I dislike mornings.
Me
any
too.
Time that starts with an AM, I'm going to try my hardest not to be awake.
Me too. For a whole long time, I didn't even know Mark Cox was a person.
I know, right?
I thought he was a robot programmed somewhere else that was broadcasting from New York. No, he's a live person in this studio in the morning.
I know. When I told my dad that the first shift that I was going to be working here was going to be Mark Cox, my dad was in the business for a long time on WIL, so he knew Mark. And I said, yeah, I'm going to be working this show. It's like Mark Cox or somebody. He's like, oh, yeah, he's doing the mornings now, right? And I'm like, wait a minute. There are people who do live morning shows?
That's how you break in. Yeah, when I started here, I was doing a lot with Mark Cox and the Mark Cox Morning Show and Trisha, too. And so got to be friends with those guys. But so I was joking. But I ask you that question because I asked Brad off air, and he said pretty much one word, no. I am not a Black Friday shopper.
I am not a Black Friday shopper.
So you guys, I didn't know that about you, Michael, you are a shopper.
Well, sometimes back when the PlayStation 4 first came out, my dad went at, I think, 3 in the morning to Toys R Us to get in line on Black Friday for it.
See,
your dad is awesome.
I know, right?
That's pretty
awesome. Cool dude.
That's pretty awesome.
We've done it a couple, like, I can remember maybe I've done it for, like, a new game that came around. Because right now is when all the video games come out. This is, like, the season. I think I've done it before for, like, Red Dead Redemption 2, doing, like, a midnight release.
It's a good game.
See, yeah. I respect that because I'm not that. But I am, like, a super frugal deal hunter, as you know.
I'll do a video game night.
You will? Okay.
Yeah, I'll go. I used to do that.
A specific thing that you're looking for, you'll do.
Right. But now with games, like the new games that just released, Battlefield and Halo... You could just download them at home.
So I actually lean more, even though I'm like, you know, I talk about flea markets all the time and I'm a deal guy. I actually lean more toward you, Brad, and I don't like Black Friday.
Is that a Freudian slip? You don't like Brad?
I don't like Brad Friday.
He doesn't like your Fridays.
This is sad.
Because
it's a really sad time.
Partially because I don't like getting up early and doing the whole doorbusters thing, but I also don't like crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. This is very typical. I don't like that everybody already knows about it. I'm not finding a deal that nobody else knows about, so I don't feel as special. But here, I have advice for you. Either one of you, take this or leave it. Especially if you're not a Black Friday shopper, but you're like me where you're like, you know what, there's deals to be had, but I don't want to go through all the work of looking through all the circulars and picking out the things. Here's some advice. Take it or leave it. On Black Friday, everybody does what your dad did and what most doorbuster people do. They go early or they go at midnight or whatever. And they wait in line or they show up early and they just, you know, maybe show up at Walmart at 7 o'clock, hope some of the big deals are still there. Terrible way to do it. You can still Black Friday shop and not do it online and beat the system.
All right, let's hear it.
Wait until about 5 at night.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the restock, right?
They restock everything. It's the number one sales day of the year. So, yes, you probably are going to miss some of those doorbusters that are very, very limited, but you got to work your butt off to get those anyway. Don't even worry about those. Pick a couple stores that you frequent. Now, if you're looking for a specific item like Brad does, great, go for it. But if you're just doing, like, I like going to, you know, a couple of the clothing stores in the mall and doing some Christmas shopping, generally speaking, or a retail place like Rural King or anything like that. Like, if you have a place that's your place, go there at about 5 at night and just browse. Everything's still, you know, up to 50% off in some of those stores, especially in the mall. and nobody's there. It's fantastic. It really is. Like, I can't believe more people haven't done this. And I almost was reluctant to share it on the radio because now somebody is going to do this. But it's a great idea. And I highly suggest them all because then you can shop lots of stores. Mm-hmm. And they are all at least 30% off. Some of them up to like 70% off of everything in the store. And you're not missing anything. And there's nobody to compete with. You're just there by yourself.
Walking around.
Walking around.
Eating a pretzel.
Exactly. Especially if it's Auntie Anne's.
Oh, yeah.
Auntie Anne. Or you go to the Great American Cookie Place.
Yeah, that place is pretty good, too.
You get a cookie in one hand, you get a pretzel in the other. You just got your bags all around your arms from all the Black Friday deals.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's my my gift to you this year, is that piece of advice.
You are cheap.
But it's good. I guarantee, I'm not kidding. Not like you, Michael, I'm not going to be in town this year, so I'm going to kind of miss out on the whole thing. But I realized a few years ago, and it was after having kids, that it's like I didn't want to lug my two-year-olds through the mall to get these deals. But once you go late, you can do... What's Annie saying? What is she... Is she listening right now?
She is.
What is she saying about this?
Hi, Annie.
Hi, Annie.
She said, for the guy who doesn't like crowds, going to a place where everyone knows about... Have fun
at Walt Disney World this week. I know. I didn't want to mention it because I am a hypocrite. Because she sent me an article earlier this week that said, hey, guess what the busiest week at Walt Disney World is? It's this week, and I almost wanted to cancel the trip. Ah, I'm so depressed over that. But
you're going to see your son play soccer.
That's the point of going down. And we're already going to be in Florida, so I figured why not at least hit
just
some of these rides.
Through.
I said before, one of the main reasons I wanted to go back to Disney World, even though we did it last year, is because I didn't ride the Twilight Zone. And it's my favorite show, and I just have a feeling.
It's so good.
The Tower of Terror?
I've been 16 times or so with my family. We used to go twice a year. Now we do once a year. It's been a little while, but that attraction alone, worth every penny of it. It is phenomenal.
Thank you,
Annie, said,
for verifying that
Annie
I should go.
Annie said, don't cancel. Take her with you.
Okay, you can go and play. As long as you can pretend to be a seven-year-old boy and play in a soccer tournament, Annie.
I feel like that she's not above doing that. Not for Disney World.
Well, Annie is listening, and I think we've done her well, right? I mean, we've done a pretty good job today.
Big pimpin'.
Big pimpin', exactly.
Big pimpin'.
So thank you for listening, and hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Hope you have a great Black Friday now that you have the best advice in the world. You can thank me. You can get on my Twitter, at Radio Wiggins, and tell me how your Black Friday goes. I would love to hear it. Of course, I'm on Saturday mornings. Maybe I'll share some of those stories. Who knows? But thanks for being here today. Mark Reardon is coming up next. I'm Ryan Wiggins. Brad Range, thank you for producing today.
My pleasure.
Thank you for coming in right at the end and talking with us.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate your help, too. Have a great Thanksgiving. 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.